Make it a little Taco Bell lunch. Praise the Lord for me. So I don't even have to go to Taco Bell today. I'm all set for the whole day. I love this fact that, number one, Pastor Elrod's going to preach because I'm way too full. And I don't even have to put my coat on today. I just get to sit there without a coat on, and you got to wear yours. Praise the Lord. Don't have to, but I'm going to make him anyway. So praise the Lord for that. So it is a privilege, and they've got to drive back, and I want him to drive back in the daylight and before the traffic 96 is shut down today and tomorrow. So they've got to find a new way to get home, and so I want to get going with the service. But it is a privilege to have them here, and all the work that he did for me yesterday with me. For the church, and I appreciate that. That's how he works every day. He's the maintenance man at Faith Baptist Church in a 300,000 square foot building. I thought it was 300,000. Yeah. He thought the walk from back there out to there was a piece of cake compared to his. I told him that I'd get in that wheelchair and ride that wheelchair all over the place that Dick's in if I had to be at their church full time, or I'd get a scooter or something in there. It is huge, and it's massive, and he keeps it going week after week. But pray for him. God is working in his heart, and it's time for him to get back into the pastoral ministry. And that's what God's called him to do and gifted him to do, but he took him on a little sabbatical to help out Faith Baptist Church in Warren, and I appreciate it so very much. But pray for him. God will give him wisdom. I told him the hardest part isn't going to be finding the church. It's going to be choosing which church. And he's finding that out, aren't you? He's got a lot of good churches that have contacted him, and he's going through the process. So just pray for God's wisdom. But again, this is one of those bus kids. I started picking him up at 11. Were you 11? 15. I don't remember. Yeah. So at 15, I started picking him up. He'd come before then, though, right? And comes from a pretty rough home, and mom and dad divorced, and mom didn't live for the Lord, she's a nice lady. I like her as well, but she just didn't encourage that. So everything he got was our people in our church really took they were the Freelongs then, and then his dad's name is Elrod, so he took the name Elrod. And he took them under their wings, and he rode our van and bus for years. And then he went off to Bible college, and he went to our Christian school for a year, and somebody paid that way. And I don't know how you made it either. They're just close to paying off their debts from college. That's the last debt you owe. Huh? Just yours. And boy, if you would go now, you would just begin paying that debt off, buddy, at $30,000 a year. But it wasn't that back then. But as a bus kid, he didn't have any help from home. The church came alongside him, and God just worked in his heart and life. And this is one of those stories that if you saw him as a teenager, this is the power of God. I'm just telling you. And wait till you listen to him preach. Tim, you know, he battles this, but sometimes he had a problem with stuttering and different things when the first time. But I remember the first message you preached. I put him on in an early Sunday morning. And he had enough material, I thought, to last for about 35 minutes. You remember how long that sermon lasted? No. It lasted 6 minutes. And he was done preaching, and Dr. Cummins got up and said, "What am I going to do now?" And it was just, but he went through it so fast, so quick, I remember that very first message that you preached to the church. Lasted for 6 minutes. But then God began to work in his heart and life, and now I wish he'd preach for 6 minutes. Now it's 66 minutes, praise the Lord. You can't shut him up, but he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought before he gets in the church and gets out there, I wanted him to be able to come over here and fellowship with him and spend some time with him, but yet I want him to preach to you. So it's a privilege to have Pastor Elrod into our pulpit this afternoon. You come and preach the word. You don't get a shake, you get a hug.
Yes, yes. You know, I was thinking that he said that, earlier he was preaching about the power of heaven, or, you know, power of God, and then he mentioned the power of God, you know, in my life, and so I'm thinking, well, so he thinks that I'm a little bit of heaven, but hey, you know. Anyway, you know, growing up, what, you know, so what it was is my dad's last name is Freelong. So my mom and dad got married after they had me. So I had my mom's maiden name, but didn't know it. And that's how that happened where, you know. So, oh, and if you would like to see a picture of Pastor Brian with muscles and hair, here you go, okay? May of 2000. So, anyway, so 1 Kings chapter 11 this afternoon. 1 Kings, oh yeah, thank you, yeah. Anyway, got me off track now. 1 Kings chapter 11, would like to just preach for a little bit. We at Faith, during the summer, Pastor Berlin had these breakout sessions. And so we had different, you know, men in the church, you know, that would take a class and take a topic and teach. So he asked me if I would do so, and so I did one on biblical leadership. And as teaching that, I came across Solomon. And so this afternoon, I'd like to just briefly preach on the tragedy of a turned heart. So if you'll go to 1 Kings chapter 11, you're probably already there. Verse 1 says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And so Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father." And then it says, "Then Solomon did build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, and the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded." And then if you'll go to 1 Kings chapter 3, this is where Solomon starts and becomes king. And, you know, this is where he asks God for wisdom. And, of course, verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Kings says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her in the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house, the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built under the name of the Lord until those days." And it says in verse 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places." And as we know, the life of Solomon, God, you know, offers him, you know, wisdom, riches, all that stuff. And Solomon, in verse 7, it says, "Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And here you have Solomon, the man who wrote, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The man who wrote Proverbs, the man who wrote Ecclesiastes. He was gifted of God, a brilliant man, a beloved king, beloved of God. And yet you find him later on in life, his heart is turned. His heart's not perfect like David, his father. And you see the contrast here. He had loved God. He walked with God. He had depended upon God for understanding and for wisdom. Lord, how should I rule thy people? And yet, later on, he has all these wives. And the Bible says that his wives turned his heart from God. And he begins to cater to them. He begins to love them more than God. And so we first see the cause of Solomon's sin. The cause was he loved his wives. And that led to him being disloyal to God. Here, he knew what God wanted. God spoke to him twice. If anybody knew what God wanted, it was Solomon. Solomon knew that he wasn't supposed to go this route. But yet, he allowed his heart to be turned. He didn't walk with God like he did earlier in his life. His heart wasn't perfect like the heart of David, his father. He let his wives get in the way. I mean, he had women, he had wine, he had wisdom, and he had wealth, all these things. And yet, somehow I think him being Solomon, that he let it go to his head. Well, I'm Solomon. I'm beloved of God. God has given me an understanding heart. I'm the exception. I think he probably got to that point that, man, I have a kingdom. I have all these servants. I'm rich. I'm the envy of all the nations. People come to me for wisdom. Man, this is good. You know, and he gets a huge harem to actually demonstrate how powerful and how rich he was. And somewhere along the line, he made it about himself. And the cause of his sin is that he loved many strange women. And because he loved them, and he put them before God, he became disloyal to God. You know, his affections were divided. You know, his attention, I mean, was distracted. I mean, he should have, you know, kept his mind, kept his heart upon God. You know, if you go to Nehemiah chapter 13, there is commentary on Solomon's life. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 and 27. And Nehemiah is dealing with, the priests and them marrying strange women. But Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 27 says, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair." So he keeps going. He says, "You should not give your daughters unto your sons, nor take your daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves." And he says, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." That was the cause of his sin. And it caused him to be disloyal to God, to divide his attention and his affection, he got his priorities wrong. He got caught up with what he had, with what how people had viewed him. And so it caused him to be disloyal to God, but it caused him to disobey God. God told him on two different occasions, don't go and marry strange women. Don't go after other gods. Because if you do, here's how it will end. Ah, I'm Solomon. I can do what I want. Come on. You know, I'm the wisest guy in the world. It's not going to like happen to me, you know. But yet he got to the place where he became, he just quit on God. You know, he did what he wanted to do, and he disobeyed God. You know, verse 2, you know, of, let me turn there, I lost my page here. But verse 2 said of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. He forgot God's principles about boundaries. He did his own thing. He disobeyed God. Lord, I'm going to set the boundaries. I'm going to make the rules. And God gives us boundaries to protect us. He gives them to help us because God knew. Solomon, you go down this path, here's where it's going to lead. Your heart will be turned. I will have to judge you, Solomon. But Solomon wanted to make his own boundaries. He forgot God's principle about the big picture. Life is not about you, Solomon. Life is about my plan and my design and my agenda. Solomon, I gave you wisdom. I gave you instruction. I gave you an understanding heart to lead and guide my people. This kingdom and these people and this nation, it's not about you, Solomon. It's about me. It's about me getting glory and not you. And when Solomon dismissed God's principles about biblical authority, because, you know, he's king, but he answers to God. And God told him, this is what's going to happen. And the words of God are true. And the warnings of God are true. And somehow, I think Solomon thought to himself, you know, God's not going to hold me accountable. Maybe he just forgot it, you know, or dismissed it. But the cause of his sin was that he loved many women, and so it led to to the disloyalty and to the disobedience. And it doesn't matter what sin you and I have, whether it's pride or gossip or selfishness or bitterness, any one of those things will lead us down the same path of Solomon, where we'll be disloyal to God because we want what we want. We will be disobedient to God and justify any sin whatsoever because that's what we want. You know, and then our heart will begin to turn from God. Our heart will no longer be perfect before God. And his actions flew in the face of God. He knew full well the consequences. And he turned his heart from God. That's why he fell. And again, it could be, any sin, pride, selfishness, bitterness, you know, greed. So we see the actual cause of his sin, and then we see the character of his sin. It's idolatry. He was not supposed to have any other gods like beside him. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gives admonition to Israel, and every king was supposed to have a copy of the Word of God and read it and do it. So Solomon knew full well what he was doing, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commands to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Let thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thou and thy son's sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord of God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And he says, hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And then also, go on to verse 12, he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest anger the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. It was plain old idolatry, spiritual adultery. God had saved Solomon. God had provided for him. God had protected him. God had placed him on the throne and given him position and blessing. And Solomon spits in the face of God. Now, did he love God? Yes. But did he love God like he should have? No. Did he have a heart that followed completely after God like David his father? No. You think of David. He made big mistakes. Murdered a man, adultery, pride, you know, all these things. But David got it right. So the thing is, David never made idols right in Jerusalem. David never followed after false gods. David did not provide idol pagan centers for his wives to actually like worship at. It was plain old idolatry, spiritual adultery. That's the character of a sin based in selfishness. It also was indulgence. He added money and horses and wives, which the kings weren't supposed to do. They weren't to be like Egypt, and yet he indulged. In the very city where he built the temple of God, spent all that money. It was a magnificent, glorious temple, none like it, to display God's glory and God's beauty and God's holiness. And yet you're like, Solomon, what are you thinking? Why are you putting idols around the city? Why are you erecting places of idol worship when you have the temple of God and you have God who comes down and meets with you and fellowships with you? Why would you even do this? Because his heart was turned. Because of the sin of him loving many strange women. It was indulgence. It was insolence. He was insubordinate. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. It was disrespect and pride. So he just did what he wanted to do. I'm king. I'm the boss. Here's what I'm doing. And, you know, we do the very same thing he does. You know, when you and I make choices each day and we choose self and we actually choose self and not Christ, and we choose our glory and our comfort and our own, like, convenience besides Christ. You know, we've had a long day, you know, just busy, and we know we should spend time with God, and we just don't, like we ought to. You know, someone wrongs us, mistreats us, and instead of choosing Christ and reacting in a biblical way, we choose to react selfishly and in a very irritated way. You know, I drive, and I don't like a lot of traffic. You know, we'll be driving, and I'll have Nathan in, you know, car with me, and it's going slow, you know, or, you know, something's happening. And I start, "You moron, you idiot," you know, move out of the way. And Nate hears it, and he starts doing the same thing. I'm like, "Don't do that," you know. But you know, it's just how I react and how I respond. He sees it, and he just follows the example. That's on me, you know, and not on him. But Solomon just knew better. And folks, we don't need more Bible. We just need to do what's right. We are very learned people. We know what God says. Oh, we know what we need to do. And we know what we need to forsake. And we know that we need to cleave unto God and walk with him and spend time with him and get to know him, so that we do bring people to a right conclusion of who God is and what he's like. But yet Solomon didn't do that. You know, so the Old Testament folks, Israel was supposed to be to the Old Testament what the New Testament is for us today. They were to glorify God. They were to point people to Jehovah God. And Solomon confused his people. And God brings consequences upon him. So we see the cause, or we see the character, and we see the consequences. He brings someone along. He brings. Let me turn there. Bible says in verse 11, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done before thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." I'm going to rend the kingdom, like I did from Saul, because he wouldn't obey me. I'm going to take it from you, but for thy saving, he says, "Howbeit, I will not, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son." So Solomon, I'm doing this not for your sake, but for your father, who wholly followed me and had a perfect heart toward me. I'm doing this to honor David. I'm not doing it to honor you, Solomon. You've forsaken me. You've claimed under strange women. You've brought other gods in. Your heart is turned from me. I'm not doing this for you. It's because of David I'm showing you mercy. And the Bible says, the Lord stirred up an adversary under Solomon, and he lists them. There are a few of them. He rends the kingdom. He will rend it. He sends resistance. And then he loses Syria area. And then he ruins his legacy. You look at all the other kings. The kingdom is rent. You know, one goes to Rehoboam, other 10 go to Jeroboam, and you follow that line, and they become idol worshipers. Yes, do they love God? Yes. But they bring in other gods beside him. He ruined his legacy. And see, if we're not careful, and we don't walk with our God closely, and we don't spend time with him, and we don't get to know him, and when we become selfish and we don't choose Christ every day, every moment, we're in danger of having our heart turned toward what we want and not what God wants. And the cause of it could be anything, but the result's the same. And there are people I know who have gotten bitter at God, responded wrongly, had their heart turned from God, and their kids saw it, and they ruined their legacy. They damaged their kids, or they damaged the next neighbor or next generation. Why? Because they wanted what they wanted, and they thought that they could have God in the world too. Solomon knew better. Of anyone, he should have known, and he did. And if Solomon, the wisest man, could falter and fall, even in his golden years, so can we. And that's why Pastor preaches so passionately about walking with God and doing right and living in the power of the cross and just glorifying God. Because the danger is real. You know, as you reflect upon this past week, and you look at your attitudes and your actions and your responses to problems or to relationships, have you chosen you? Have you chosen your own selfishness, or have you chosen Christ? Have you sought to completely and wholly follow God and him completely? You know, we all have sin problems. I have sin problems. I'm a sinner. I struggle. Every day I struggle. I am no super saint. And I have issues that I deal with, that I struggle with, but I have to be careful that I don't just go after what I want and turn my heart from God and not follow him completely. And whenever you and I get selfish and do our own thing and we don't live according to God's designed for marriage or relationships or for the family, or we try to make life work our own way apart from God, we are literally slapping God in the face, because we're going after our own idol of what we think. And it's spiritual idolatry, adultery. I mean, the one who saved you, us, and takes care of you and provides for you. I mean, all these blessings we have. And yet we just, you know, we just treat God and His Word as some commonplace thing, you know, instead of as precious and as important. Solomon had all the wisdom God gave him, he could have. And we have all the wisdom God gives us in here. You know, we just need to wholly follow it and not let anything else get in the way to turn our heart after other things, after idols, or after things of this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for Faith Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord, to share your word. Father, help us to, Lord, to watch out for, Lord, a turned heart. Lord, Solomon was such a wise, Lord, man. Father, you gave him all this wisdom, Lord. You blessed him, Lord. You loved him. And yet, Lord, he just didn't, Lord, guard his heart. Lord, he actually let his heart be turned. And so, Lord, help us this week to wholly follow you, Lord, to like seek you this week. In Jesus' name we ask it.